Hello and welcome to The Real Podcast. I'm Earl Buchan, and today we'll be continuing our conversation about rewilding the heart of ministry from the inside out. It starts with us. We can be open and real. We'll explore testimonies, conversations, and all kinds of topics, and I hope you'll stick around. Well, hello again. Just here with Terrence Lieb. I'm going to talk about his journey through faith. And I was looking forward to this one, actually. I really am, because I really love you. And I wanted to hear some of this myself. So, I mean, I'm really happy that you're okay with doing this. So why don't we just start with where'd you come from? Tell me about your family. You know, I know you're from Winnipeg, but, you know, the emotional, where did you come from? Like, where have you been?
Sure. Well, as far as my testimony goes, I grew up in the church. I grew up in a family with a legacy of faith on both sides for many generations. I have a Mennonite background, so I grew up hearing those stories of where my families had lived and how they had moved to different places and how they had ended up in Canada, in Winnipeg. So I was always exposed to the church, to Jesus, to the good news. The way I put it is I was handed the greatest truths of life on a silver platter from infancy. So I'm grateful for that. And yeah, it was, I suppose that's one of the saddest things about my testimony. It's like I said, I feel like I was handed these great truths of life. And then I see relatives, cousins, peers who were given the same and then rejected it as well. So there's a lot of things that I've worked through there, why that's happened, why that would happen, why God would let that happen.
Right. So. What was the moment, though, where it was very clearly became yours? Because we can live our faith through other people, even through our parents, and we can live our faith through our family structure and the culture that we come through, you know, especially in the Mennonite culture, there is this very steep tradition, right? But for you yourself, when was that aha moment where you thought, this is mine?
I would say that happened very gradually. I learned to understand various truths about following Jesus at different times in life. You know, it was when I was 8 years old, but I was told, oh, you need to actually have a conversion experience, the way it was put, which I'm sure many of us are familiar with, was you have to ask Jesus into your heart, really meaning make Jesus Lord of your life, actually surrender to him. So while that happened at a young age, I was baptized when I was 12, which, at least in the church that I grew up in, was considered very young. But at the same time, there were these things where I knew that my faith was my own, and I had to make it my own over time.
Right.
There were a lot of things that I had to realize for myself, or at least truths that I had to internalize for myself. And it very much came to be like certain things were true, certain things were required, whether I saw that in my family, in my church, in others, or not. So there actually was not, I can't say that there is any one moment when that became my own.
Was there a point, though, that was like a crisis of faith? Like, you know what I mean by that is that, you know, there's always kind of a moment where you have to choose what you believe, like, and it's called a crisis of faith, where, you know, you can't really kind of be in a general, you have to actually think specific from the standpoint of like, okay, I am a Christian, right? And there's usually a point of tension that draws us to that, you know, conclusion. People can say becoming to Christ, it can be through other things as well, but like, did you have that kind of point of conviction that developed for you? There's no wrong answer to that.
Yeah.
Just curious.
Yeah, I definitely had a few. Like I said, there was that early moment when I was about, and I remember hearing as a very young child, like, oh, you need to believe in God, you need to believe in Jesus. And I never actually had a problem with that. It's like, oh, you need to actually surrender your life to God. Okay. And that was fine. And then there were definitely crisis moments growing up, and even until recently, right, where there were these watershed moments of, okay, what are you going to do now? These moments of, some of them I was very aware at the time, some of them looking back, I'm aware that they were these watershed moments of, I can choose to follow Jesus now, or I can choose to go down a dark path. And perhaps the bad decisions that I have made, I don't have as clear a view on, because there are those times, right, when God allows us to go down a dark path for a time. But there are also, were also these times when I was aware of what I had to do and did what I am convicted was the right thing, the God-honoring thing, the Jesus-following thing. Yeah. So I have had those crises, those doubts, and have had to choose what I believe in, to put it generally. Yeah.
And what about like the Mennonite culture that you were raised in and around compared to to where you are now? You know, would you say that you still have that cultural backdrop, or do you feel like you've moved through and beyond that, or what does that look like?
I definitely have that cultural backdrop. When asked, are you a Mennonite? My response is with another question, what does that mean to you?
That's a good question.
Because it is an unfortunately loaded term. Are you referring to faith? Are you referring to a culture? Which should not be that way, because the whole idea was, it was historically, what being a Mennonite is supposed to be about is about living your faith in such a convicted way that you live your life in a certain way and you want to do that in community with others. So I definitely have a heritage of faith because of my Mennonite background. I grew up in mostly the Mennonite Brethren Church and learned a lot there. I went to a school that was affiliated with the Mennonite Brethren Church, and I learned a lot, and I had some great examples. At the same time, there is, I was definitely confronted in the last several years with the problems when heritage and faith are so closely tied together, and I did have to decide to abandon that in to follow Jesus. I am quite convicted that that is what happened. So I bear no bitterness about my background. I believe that I am able to look at it very honestly and see the good and the bad in that. And I owe a lot to the Heavenly Father for the family that I was put in, the background that I was given, especially when I see the struggles that so many people have in family conflict when pursuing faith.
Now you have a brood of really amazing kids. Like, they're all just spectacular
a
people.
metric or an imperial brood.
Fair enough. But they're all like really great.
They
And
are.
so how, like, knowing yourself, how you've grown up within that culture, what would be a piece of advice you'd give them to pursue Jesus? Because I like what you said, that you've had to make choices towards Jesus along the way, and I've seen that even in the short time I've known you already. So how would you inspire your kids? What a piece of advice would you give them to pursue Jesus and make those decisions? It's a loaded question.
Yeah. That's a very good question. Makes me wonder what I've been telling my kids if I can't answer this question.
The right thing.
Yeah, I would tell them that it is worth it, and it is worth whatever earthly hardship might come up. Mm-hmm. And that is, yeah. I feel very convicted saying that now, just because, oh, okay, when have I chosen my own comfort over following Jesus or things like that, when I should have chosen to bear my cross. Mm-hmm. But yes, to simply say to my children, say, I'm going to make mistakes. Those around you are going to make mistakes. God will not make mistakes. So if there is something that you are convinced of in terms of what God is asking of you, then that is the right thing, even if it seems foolish to me. Hmm. Even if it seems, especially if it seems foolish to the world. Hmm. But
you know they're going to listen to this too, right?
Absolutely.
That's fantastic advice.
I love you kids.
If Jesus was sitting beside you right now, what would you say?
Isn't he?
No, of course he is. Two or more are gathered. Sure.
Yes,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. What would you say to him?
Oh, love you. Mm. Sorry. Yeah, I have this. I have these conflicting images in my mind. It's always, oh, what are you going to do when you, on Judgment Day, when you see Jesus? Or what would you do if Jesus was in front of you? And I have one of these images I have of myself is when Scripture talks about how, as God's children, as disciples of Jesus Christ, that it's like we're invited as guests to a royal banquet. Mm. And I have this image of myself showing up in this banquet hall in humble clothes, holding my cap in my hand, asking for maybe a little bit of something. And then there's Jesus at the banquet table, pointing to this magnificent spread in front of him, saying, "This is all yours." So I would say, thank you. Yeah, I don't, do I run up and embrace him? Do I fall on my face before him? All of the above at the same time? I don't know. What do you do? What do you do when confronted with the God of the universe who calls us his friends?
Yeah.
That's,
That is a remarkably humbling thought.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to close chapter one here. I hope we can pick this up another day and continue on.
Sure.
In deeper ways. But thank you, Terrence. I really appreciate
thank you.
Your honesty and your time you've given us. Blessings.